Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, March 13th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in There is a Solution on page 24, reading the third full paragraph beginning with "The alcoholic may say to himself," ending with "or what's the use anyhow?" We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Jane D. reading the 12 steps, Mary Frances W. reading the 12 traditions, Janice P.M. is reading the text, Kara L., page 164, and Robin B. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Ann S.C.H., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, March 12th, 2026, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,280 or 23280, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,282 or 23282. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jane D. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Jane, morning again.
Good morning. Good morning. It's snowing in Seattle. Okay, the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying for only knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Well, thank you so much, Jane D. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Stephanie. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in There is a Solution, page 24, reading the third full paragraph, beginning with the alcoholic may say to himself, ending with, or what's the use? Anyhow, we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. We'll now ask Janice P.M. to please begin reading. Hey, Janice.
Hey, Stephanie. Thank you very much for this pleasure of doing the reading. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Okay. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, I won't burn. It won't burn me this time, so here's how. Or perhaps he doesn't even think at all. How often have some of us begun to drink in this nonchalant way, and after the third or fourth, pounded on the bar and said to ourselves, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink, or what's the use anyhow? Well, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts for many years. And, you know, the past couple of pages, well, even the last page, you know, it describes the real alcoholic, and that's what I am. I am the real alcoholic. I can identify for almost every paragraph on this page and the previous one, because I have always said to myself, very casually, I can do this because I'll be able to control it with my mind. Oh, I can say this, I can do that, and it won't burn me this time. And I'll tell you how. This is what I do. Well, to say the first part is, it's all about my mental obsession. See, I have a double whammy, and we've heard this over and over and over again, sometimes by the same readers. But you know what? I have to hear this over and over again to remind me and identify with this. Did I do this? Oh, of course. I was trying to figure out my plan. I'm not going to get burnt over and over again. But did I? Did we? The food burnt me over and over. And I mean the consequences of it. But of course, I was still very, very testing, always testing my control to do it my plan, my way. And so I would say, you know, this is how you do it. Go to OA, you know, get the food plan, blah, blah, blah. Go to Weight Watchers, get the diet, lose the weight. I did all that. I even went to parochial school, you know, because I knew of God, but I didn't have a relationship. But that's not the point right here. The mental obsession, I not only had the physical, the body craving once I put that substance in my mouth. And then when I didn't put the substance in my mouth and I was sober, I was abstinent on these diets, I still wanted something else. And that's the main problem. I have a double whammy. The physical allergy that pertains to my body and the mental obsession. Here it is. My mind, my thinking. Oh, I'll tell you how. I have the sugar-free food. You know, I don't smoke. You know, blood. I do smoke. You know, take a shower. Think yourself way out of it. Go for a walk. You know, those things are fine. But it's the idea that I get in my head that is the obsession that makes me and us believe that it's okay. It's okay, Janice, for you to pick up, you know. So what happens? I trigger the allergy, and I cannot stop the bitch. Okay. Thank you. And I have so many excuses, reasons why I have to go back. But that's my mind, and I will pass because it's time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice PM. What a great way to get us started on a powerful paragraph this morning. So we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if someone's unmuted, if you guys can hold off for a sec, thank you so much. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. And if you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Chanel T, Washington.
Chicago.
I think I heard Chanel T from Washington.
Yep.
That's about all I heard.
Diane MC.
Diane MC from Chicago, right?
Chicago, yep.
Lori T, California.
I think I heard Lori T. Lori from California?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, thank you.
Got you.
Hillary B.
Hillary B. from California also? Gotcha.
Michelle W.
Loretta A.
I heard Michelle W. Where are you from, Michelle?
At WC. I'm from California.
Michelle WC from California?
Washington. Correct.
Michelle, was that Michelle? Okay, got you. Okay, and then who was that right after Michelle?
Loretta A. from Seattle.
I think I heard Loretta H. And Loretta H., where are you from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. And then I heard Freya. Is that, did I hear Freya?
Darcy A. from Seattle.
Okay, I've got you, Darcy. Did I hear Freya?
Veronica.
Hold on. Did I hear Freya in there? Okay, I guess I didn't. And I'm Veronica. What's your last initial?
B.
And where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. I'm going to tell you who I've got. Let me know if I've missed anyone. I've got Chanel T., Diane M.C., Lori T., Hillary B., Michelle W.C., Loretta H., Darcy A., and Veronica B. Did I miss anyone?
Jana M. Jana M.
Was that Dana or Gina?
Jana with a J.
Jana M. And where are you from, Jana?
Arizona.
Arizona. Got ya. Okay. Well, I think that's quite a first lineup. So we're going to start with Chanel T, followed by Diane M.C. Good morning again, Chanel. Hey there.
Good morning again, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Chanel T, recovered, grateful and recovered by the grace of God today here in snowy Washington State. So we've been reading about how eventually a compulsive eater has lost the power of choice to eat alcoholic foods and act out in alcoholic food behaviors. Then we read about the mental blank spot, that inability to remember that every time I eat my alcoholic foods or ingredients or I act out in my alcoholic food behaviors, I will get burned. And today, now we're reading about eating and acting out in a casual, nonchalant way, or not even thinking at all, which always will leave me baffled as I eat yet again and get burned yet again. So today's paragraph made me wonder, makes me wonder, am I working my program in a casual way, in a nonchalant way, without careful concern, time, willingness, or effort? I have no power of choice in my addiction, but I have all the power of choice to work these steps today, to treat my disease like the permanent, the progressive, and if left untreated or undertreated, the deadly malady that it truly is. Am I being casual about how much I'm willing to do in my program? Am I being nonchalant about my alcoholic foods and behaviors? Am I unwilling to put forth adequate effort? Am I not thinking it is a life or death proposition, which it is for me? My higher power, I choose to call God, will and does do for me what I cannot do for myself. I can't just work the tools and follow a food plan. If I could do that on my own, indefinitely, then I would not need a 12-step program, wouldn't need this spiritual solution. If I want to live in real recovery, have neutrality, experience the other promises that go far beyond that, that are all laid out in this book, there are things I can choose to do and need to do. And then God does all the rest, all the heavy lifting. So my question for myself with these paragraphs is, how free do I want to be today? Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. All right, next we've got Diane M.C. followed by Lori T. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane M.C. in Chicagoland. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thank you for all the family members that came on today. So this poor person was asking himself, just how did I get here? Only to have that thought. Okay, there you go. It's thinking. What's going on in my thoughts? It reminds me of Dr. Silkworth explaining doctor's opinion, you know, the twofold nature of the disease, that the body of the addict is quite abnormal, is as abnormal as his mind. And so I need to address that. Yeah, the food is down now. I no longer have the thought process come to me when I want to eat. I don't care. I know it's the end of the day. I've had this food plan. I should be done for the day. I don't care. I'm going to have what I want. So that was my life for a long time. So I'm grateful. I don't have those thoughts today, but I do have those thoughts in other areas of my life that I now take as a red flag. For instance, at the end of the day, it's a vulnerable time for me, not for food, but I may want to just crash with social media, do something dumb, when there's something else waiting for me that's healthier, that's more beneficial. And my attitude is, I don't care. I don't care. I deserve it. You know, to me today, that's a red flag. Like, come on. Yeah, you can have relaxing things to do, set a timer or something, and then move on to something healthy. So I still have that I don't care attitude that I have to work at every day. Thank God it's down regarding the food, but it seeps in, those thoughts seep in other areas that I deserve this. I deserve a reward or whatever. So I'm just grateful that this, you know, this program, it's just ongoing. God is forever teaching me how to cope with life better, how to deal with life. Today, I was reminded of an amends, a financial amends from decades ago. Just popped into my head. I could take care of it, and I did. Right? You know, I wrote the check. Yeah, I'm just so grateful for this program. And I can clear the wreckage of my past, and it comes maybe decades later where my memory is triggered to think of something that needs to be taken care of. I just do it. Today, I don't have to think. It's done and gone. I'll just take care of it. It's the right thing to do. Get out the checkbook. Take care of it. I am just so grateful that I have such a program that keeps me honest and clean. Why? So that pipeline with my higher power is clear. It's not blocked by a debt of 2 decades ago that I know about and I don't want to hear
that time.
Whatever. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Diane MC from Chicago, Illinois. Next, we've got Lori T, followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. I am Lori T, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I have been struggling with this during my relapse period as to, you know, kind of like which comes first, the egg or the chicken. There isn't just one thing. Actually, I found the one thing that saved me, and that's thanks to a new bulimic sponsor that shared this with me when I wanted to go out and do, and practice my disease again. She said to me in a mantra format, I mean, just immediately when I told her what I wanted to do is, God's with you. God's with you. God's with you. God's with you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Would God want me to do what I'm about to do? And when she said that in such a sweet, loving way, I just broke down and cried. God was and is with me at all times. And that God is my first line of defense. I don't care if I have negative thoughts. Who's my first line of defense? God. I start praying. You know, I used to complicate it by, oh, I need to pray more all the time, pray more. And then I think, well, what am I going to pray for? And now it's, she's just helped me so much to reduce it to such a simple process is that, you know, recognizing, you know, calling out God's name over and over and over until those thoughts go away, until my desire goes away. And it that works. It really works. And that's really, I think it's a powerful message. And that's really what I wanted to say today, because I am recovered today and I am so grateful to God. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Lori T. in California. Thanks for sharing your miracle with us. All righty. Hillary B, followed by Michelle WC. Good morning, Hillary. Hillary B, can you press *1 to unmute?
Can you hear me now?
We can. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I mean muted. Okay. So Hillary B in Southern California. And this paragraph is so right on. This is exactly what I did for so many, not years, decades in OA. And I would just get a craving, or I just had to have something, you know, and I'd go and get it, and I would tell myself, and I really believed it, I'm just going to eat one serving. I'd look and see what's one serving, whether it was two cookies or one piece or what, you know, it doesn't matter, one serving. And I never could. It always, I would buy what I would use. I used substances and food that just felt so good to me, just made me feel so, and I never could stop. And I would say, it won't burn me this time. I know I can handle it this time. And then after the 10th or 11th, asked, how did I get here? And I would say, well, I might as well keep going now. What's the point? What's the point of stopping now? So I couldn't, and that was in recovery, or in the program, I should say, doing the best I could. And I would have periods of abstinence, but they always ended. They were never long. Well, one time I had a whole year, and that was a year of white-knuckling misery. And when I went off, I went way off. I was sick, like with flu symptoms, for 3 days. And it wasn't food poisoning. It was just what I did to my, ruining my body. So anyway, I'm so grateful that I'm in that I'm truly in recovery. I could say recovered, because for today, it is just for today. It doesn't mean I'm cured. It doesn't mean I don't have to work the program anymore. It doesn't mean I can eat my alcoholic foods. It just means I'm abstinent and I'm happy about it. I'm grateful. I'm not suffering, white-knuckling, miserable, wishing I could have things I can't have. And that is a gift of recovery. And there's so many other gifts that aren't even related to food. Food's just the foundation for having the spiritual awakening, for getting a whole new life. My life is brand new, and it's everything outside of me is the same. I live in the same house. I have the same friends. I mean, I've made new friends too in OA, but, you know, and I have the same husband. The same imperfect husband that God gave me, knowing he was perfect. He, my husband, was perfect for me. Every single one of my husband's character defects is my lesson. That's all. And it's like I couldn't be this person in my relationship until I put down the food and had and worked the steps and had and still work the steps. I continue to work the steps. And had a spiritual awakening that has enabled me to see things about myself I could never, ever see, because they aren't pretty to look at. I can't brag about them, but I love it. I love seeing it. It opens the door of the prison I've kept myself in into freedom. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for timing and for leading and everything.
Thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. Next, we've got Michelle W.C., followed by Loretta H. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California. And I've just been really loving this, you know, this chapter and this paragraph, you know, particularly how we've been going into the analogy of recoiling from a hot stove. And I've been thinking about that in my life. I've recently had a relapse where I was kind of nonchalant and baffled by it, where it was like, oh, first it was a bite of something I didn't even really remember tasting, and then I realized that God was trying to get my attention. And then, you know, tightened things up, things were okay for a few days, went on a trip, and then I come back, and all of a sudden I'm like, I can't control myself. And I realized that I was taking my will back. And as I've been going back and looking at this story and talking with other fellows who also have relapse experience, I was kind of realizing too that I was using that stove kind of like a heater. And in our house, here in California, it's not that cold. I'm from the Midwest. But we have kept the temperature a bit lower than what I would find comfortable. And what I've noticed is that in the evening, these past few months, my evening meditation just has suffered. Yes, I own blankets, and yes, I have sweaters. But to me, my best quality of meditation is when I sit on the ground for 15 minutes. And that really, if I start my day and end my day that way, it really sets me up for success in being connected to my higher power. And while I was trying to do that in bed, it just didn't have the same effect. And I was noticing that how that kind of just contributed to all the things that were not, that made me perhaps more nonchalant about my program, and that my nightly reviews sometimes just were something I did but didn't really empty everything out. And just grateful for everyone that has reached out, everyone that's been so supportive, that we can learn from a cautionary tale that, you know, as soon as we start to take our will back and start to lose that connection with our higher power, that, you know, things do fall by the wayside. And it is so cunning and baffling how quickly when that switch flips, when I have that, take that bite of something, that I am a true compulsive overeater. And every single time I take a bite of one of those things I'm not supposed to, it has that, you know, obsession of the mind, that twist, and then I have to white knuckle it for several days to get my abstinence back and keep my abstinence and really lean into those tools of outreach calls and sharing on meetings to get that support and get that, help me reconnect myself with my higher power. And one of the things that a fellow said to me is, you know, I went through the steps. I had a period of time where I felt really strong in my recovery. But somehow I didn't access that higher power, that greatest power that I have access to from step two. I didn't access that greater power in those times of, you know, resentment, anger, fear, grievances. I didn't access that greater power. I took my will back and I found that comfort in, you know, the warmth of the stove, of the warmth of the food. And that's not what I want for myself. And I don't think that's what my higher power wants for me. And so I'm grateful. But I'm getting another opportunity to learn how to fully surrender and accept that I'm a compulsive overeater and ask God to have me direct my attention to what He would have me be, and that I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle W.C. from California. And before we go to our next person, I do want to remind everybody where we're at this morning. We're in the big book. There is a solution on page 24. The third full paragraph beginning with, the alcoholic may say to himself, ending with, or what's the use anyhow? And where we read and we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. So next I've got Loretta H. followed by Darcy A. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Yes,
how are you? Great. Thank you for leading us this morning, and all of you, along with my precious God, you're saving my life, and welcome to the newcomer. We do care about you. And the word care, a lot of people have used that word. That is the process of protecting myself and actually finding what I need. And the third step prayer talks about His care. But when I don't care, how can I find His care? How can I find that protection? Because I don't give a damn. And, of course, that is, for me, I today know I'm outside, so sorry about the sirens. I am a compulsive overeater, a real one, and I'm a real anorexic. And I know my don't care attitude. Sorry, guys. I'm glad I care. Because that's not for me. That my what I don't care, I can't have the armor to care for anybody else or to find out where and invest in my third step prayer. And for me, boy taught me how to eat, and I have to care. It's a privilege for me to eat. I don't abuse that privilege. The way I don't abuse that privilege is by working the steps, is by having a sponsor, is by doing 11, is by doing On Awakening. Because I, in order for me to be under his care, I must care. That's my 100%. I must care, even if I don't care about myself, at least somebody else. Because it's that selfishness, you know, the dishonesty, the resentment, all that stuff, my low self-esteem and my inability to be in a true relationship that makes me want, and I'm very big, I love to serve, ladies and gentlemen, but I can never go there because that is the allergy that will put me under. And so, and a lot of people don't believe it's an allergy, but that behavior will be my demise. So today, I have to invest in third step prayer, which we're not there yet, but I have to at least care so that I don't put myself in danger. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next, we have Darcy A., followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Darcy. Darcy, if you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. This is Darcy from Seattle, Compulsive Overeater. Thanks to everyone doing service. I love this page in the big book. It's one of my favorites because of the italics at the top when it's talking about the memory and the suffering that we're at without defense against the first drink or bite. And I definitely relate to this part about it won't burn me this time, so here's how. And I many times have turned back to the food so easily, you know, just like, oh, even though I know how terrible it is, but when it's in front of me, I think I don't have that sufficient force of the memory and the suffering of even a week or a month ago, and I pick up again. And that's been quite a while ago. So thank God. There's only a higher power that can keep me from that bite. I know that. My last binge was something. I had something that I had when I was 15 years old, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's no growth when I'm in the food. I just can see so clearly that I just go back to that, you know, that state of unreasonableness. And I really need a higher power to keep me from away from that bite. And I know that the way I get that is through working the steps and reading the book and, you know, coming to meetings. And I've been doing another 12-step program for food for quite a while, and I'm coming back to OA because I really need to hear the solution in the big book. And I'm grateful for that, that all that everything else is conversation, but this is the solution. And I'm just grateful to be here today. And this is my first time on this meeting. I'm glad that somebody told me about it because I really need to hear the solution today. And I remember thinking, you know, just how my head can lie to me and say, oh, this won't burn me this time, you know. And I can remember even talking to my sponsor saying, I just want this one thing that's kind of benign. It's not really that much of sugar or, you know, and she was like, you've been fighting this for decades, you know, and I'll never forget that. It was like such a moment of clarity for me. It was like, oh my gosh, I have. There's no mental defense in me that can keep me from eating. And when I have that one bite, then I've got the compulsion going. So I'm powerless, and I need a higher power to help me. And I think that's all I have to say. I'm just grateful to remember who I am and where I come from and where I go when I pick up the bite. So thank you. I've enjoyed hearing everyone this morning. That's all.
Well, thank you so much, Darcy from Washington. We're glad that you found us, and please come back. We're here 5 mornings a week and on Sunday, too. Next, we've got Veronica B., followed by Jana M. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered from Los Angeles, and thank you so much for your share. What a great meeting. Oh, man, I woke up rather in a moody mood, and then I got on this meeting and how my spirit has been lifted just from, you know, hearing a few shares. So thank you. How does a person go back to taking that first bite? Well, for me, you know, I just stopped doing the work. I got very complacent. I thought I knew it all. I thought I had it in the bag. And, you know, it started off with cough drops for me. And then I was eating the cough drops when I wasn't sick. And then I needed a hard candy. And that's how it started for me. I stopped doing the work. I stopped taking the action necessary to get closer to my God. I stopped sharing with others. I stopped making an effort to sponsor other women. I stopped making the effort. And that's how it started for me. And so I reset my time in February. I'm working the steps again. For me, I have to take certain actions every day to get connected with God. And I have to accept my disease of alcoholism. And I gain hope from you guys. I gain hope from the literature. When I stop coming to meetings, I forget I'm a compulsive overeater because I have a mind that forgets. And I have a mind that's dishonest. So this is why I have to just keep doing what I know, because the meeting leads me to God. You know, the reaching out leads me to God. The being honest with my sponsor leads me to God. I called my sponsor the other day, and she said, "Hello, Veronica." And I said, "I'm going to eat Cheetos. I want to eat Cheetos." That was the first thing that came out of my mouth, because I really didn't want to eat Cheetos, but I was having a craving. So I shared with another compulsive overeater, and, you know, we talked it through. And guess what? I didn't eat the Cheetos because I was willing. I was willing to be honest with someone. You know, I was having a hard day. That's how simple it is for me. So I love this program. I'm so grateful for my life today. I'm grateful that I know what's wrong with me. I'm more grateful that I know what the solution is. It's these 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we've got Jana. I believe it's Jana M. Did I get that right, Jana? Or Jana? Can you please hit star one to unmute? I have written down, I think it's Jana M. from Arizona.
Hey, sorry about that. Yes, it's Jana M. in Arizona. Great meeting, great shares. I've recently returned from a long relapse, and I find that this paragraph really accurately describes like the beginnings of a relapse. You know, in recovery prior to this relapse, I had a pretty strong recovery. I worked the program, worked the steps. I lost 100 pounds. And, you know, I was aware of these words here about, you know, the things leading up to that first bite. But what I wasn't aware of was what another fellow has called prelapse, and everything that leads up to those first bites. See, in my recovery, I definitely got complacent, and I started getting nonchalant with, you know, working the program, all the disciplines, the spiritual discipline, making calls, reaching out, getting on meetings. Because I have that mental blank spot. I need to work this program every day to remind myself several times a day of the fact that I am a compulsive overeater. You know, my food plan helps me deal with the food and helps me deal with the weight, but it's working the program that helps me deal with life. Because, you know, food, when I'm having a hard time dealing with life, that's when the food becomes my solution. My problem is dealing with life, and this program helps me to deal with life. So now, today, when I start easing up on making my calls and going to meetings and, you know, the prayer and the meditation, and I don't have a day where I do all of those things, that's when the red lights start going off for me today. That's what that last relapse taught me. Because if I don't do this stuff, I will eventually start thinking about food again. And those first few bites, that first slice of whatever, it'll be like, you know, I've been recovered for a long time. You know, this has become habit. So I'm not going to go back. And sure enough, I went back and all the weight came back and all of the pain and depression, agony, self-hatred, all that stuff came back double time. So I'm just really glad that, you know, my higher power gave me the idea to return and that I had the willingness to get back on this meeting and put my number out there and start taking calls again. And before I knew it, I was able to get back into that zone. And so relapse taught me a lot. I hated it, but it taught me a lot, and I'm glad to be back. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shana M. from Arizona, and we're so glad that you're back. So glad that you shared today. We have like 1 minute. Is there someone who wants to take a 1 minute share? Someone who wants to do a 1 minute.
Elizabeth Courtney J.
Elizabeth, go for it. I'll time you for 1 minute, okay? Elizabeth?
Hi, this is Elizabeth G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Massachusetts, but I'm traveling in Nevada and California today. And I am driving and I'm surrounded by mountains, and I'm going to a place where I can ski, which is my most favorite thing to do. I'm in a thin body, and I've been abstinent for 4 years now, going on 4 years. And this meeting is a godsend for me today, because despite being in an incredibly happy place in my life and where I am, and having 100 pounds off my body, I have to remember that what I'm going for is not just abstinence, entire abstinence, but it's also emotional sobriety. And this emotional sobriety requires me daily practice, spiritual practice that I've been hearing about in this meeting this morning. And so I am so deeply grateful for this meeting.
That's time, Elizabeth.
Keep going. And I'm grateful, and I will pass. Thank you for the chance.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. All righty. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tara L., can you please read A Vision for You?
Sure. Thanks, Stephanie. My name is Tara L., and I'm a compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.